Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through that transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on March 29th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me?
This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Juanita Vero and is titled Existential Mozzarella. Thanks for listening.
Woo! My brother and I are really motivated by food. My little brother, we grew up about an hour east of here on a ranch and went to a little one-room schoolhouse down the road, and our favorite class was lunch. And this was in the 70s, and so we had these bright orange Tupperware lunch boxes that had been sitting under our desks all morning long, and so at noon, we get to peel back that soft, pliable plastic cover, and that waft, that special Tupperware stench would just come up, and we loved it. Probably didn't help that in our lunch boxes was unpasteurized cow's milk. Not because our parents were righteous hippies or anything, it's just that we had cows on the ranch and we drank, that's what the milk was that we drank, and it was not pasteurized. Also in our lunch boxes was last night's dinner slapped between 2 pieces of homemade bread. Again, not because mom was a righteous, I'm going to make everything by hand. It's just she made bread. We didn't buy bread. We lived too far from town. And occasionally, we would get peanut butter and jelly on the sandwiches, and those were special days. And peanut butter and jelly was exciting, except most of the time, peanut butter came with marmalade because we have to use up the marmalade. And who eats peanut butter and marmalade? Vomit. So my brother and I would covet, and we would be very just jealous of the other kids' lunch boxes. And these were tin lunch boxes with fantastic graphics of Star Wars and Dukes of Hazzard. And in those lunch boxes were Lunchables and fruit roll-ups and Capri Suns and colorful candy, stuff that we were never allowed. My brother, though, he was a wheeler and dealer, and he was fantastic at trading and conniving. And I, on the other hand, I took the sour grapes route. I said that only bad people ate that kind of stuff. And this was during the Save the Whales campaign, and Greenpeace was really out there, you know, trying to prevent harp steel pups from getting clubbed. And so in my mind, I was like, only whalers drink Capri Sun and clubbers, seal clubbers are out there with their Lunchables and litter bugs drink pop. You know, that's what I thought. Bad, trashy people would eat sugar cereals with store-bought 2% milk. And it's funny I said trashy, but we lived in a double-wide trailer on a ranch, so, I mean. And when we came home from school, we weren't allowed inside until dinner was ready. And during the summer, this ranch is a dude ranch, and so we served all the choice cuts of beef to our guests. And during the off-season, we would eat burger, liver, heart, tongue. Occasionally, it was good. It's good. Mom makes amazing liver and onions and tongue. And Dad would get an elk or a deer, not because of some, like, back to the land, I'm going to provide for my family philosophy. It's just we were tired of eating organ meat. Mom hunted too, but she didn't hunt so much until, you know, after us kids came along. And then we would have these food service cans of insipid vegetables. It was diced carrots and gray peas, and I'm sure the cans were lined with everything that you're not supposed to line cans with now. And then we'd have rice, and rice was a nod to my dad's Filipino heritage. And we would drown our entire dinner in soy sauce, which our dad called bug juice, and my little brother and I just reveled in asking, please pass the bug juice. We were very excited about that. About once a year, we got to go visit our grandmother in Colorado, and this meant that we got to ride on an airplane. And Frontier Airlines had a flight from Missoula to Denver, and our grandmother lived in Grand Junction. And airplanes were really exciting because you get to dress up and wear your good underwear. And for me, I could wear a dress or a skirt, which I would inevitably tuck the back into my stockings when I would come out of a public restroom. There's someone else in here who does that too. But the best part about airplanes was food. We get salted peanuts and honey roasted salted peanuts and pop, and food would come in, our meals would come in little compartments plates that were compartmentalized and separate all the food types, and my brother and I just loved that. When we arrived to our grandmother's, there was always this kind of air of stress. And my grandmother was a very regal woman. She was tall, kind of lockjawed, and had the long neck that looked like it had a couple extra vertebrae in it. And she had an immaculate home. It was beautiful, but everything was pale blue, beige, you know, sage green. Children weren't allowed on the furniture. We had to sit on the floor next to the furniture. Furniture was for adults. We also knew that our mother was kind of stressed out. We were excited to be there, but it was stressful, in part because we kind of knew, but didn't really judge, that our grandmother didn't like us. And this was because our mother had married our Filipino cowboy father. Who really didn't offer the family much materially. Never mind the fact that our grandmother had run off with another woman's husband to Colorado, leaving our grandfather on the ranch to shack up with a housekeeper who was only 4 years older than our mother. Very exciting. But we didn't judge. Again, we're children. We don't really understand the affairs of adults. We were more concerned about what was for dinner. And dinners were a really grand affair. We would have the candles would be perfectly laid or lit, and silverware would be going east and west and north and south around our plates. And there was like always a forest of glassware up in the northeast quadrant. And you had to use the right utensil in the correct hand for the correct piece of food to bring it to your mouth. And then you had to drink from the correct glass, and you needed to have the proper beverage in the correct glass. And we were really excited because we would get served wine and a sherry glass, and we just felt that so accomplished. Never mind the fact that when we weren't eating, we'd have to sit at the side, or we'd have to sit our thumbs on the edge of the table to keep us from fidgeting. We had to be very still at the table. Our grandmother's husband would gallantly carve a Canada goose that he had shot, and he'd be standing at the head of the table carving away. And we would have wild rice, which looked nothing like rice at all. And we just knew without being told that it was forbidden to ask for the bug juice, so we did not. But we loved the artichokes that we could pick off the leaves and then dip them in hollandaise sauce, and our grandmother would say hollandaise as if the H did not exist. And we would dip and then scrape the flesh from the bottom of, from our lower teeth, and then very neatly place them on the discard plate, and we had to keep perfect circles and stacked very neatly and layered. And the best part is we didn't have to finish the artichoke. We didn't like the hearts. They were like thorny and weird looking, and our mother loved them, and so we could give our mother our artichoke hearts. We didn't have to clean our plate. That was the only time we didn't have to do that. But before dinner were cocktail parties, and these were fabulous. Not only did we have our very own Shirley Temples with a couple maraschino cherries and cherry juice, in the glass, but there was food and incredible creations. My grandmother would spend hours crafting and constructing these creations. And they were like all sorts of stinky cheeses and, you know, whimsically whittled vegetables and fruit and revolting pâtés and crackers and toast points that were adorned with all sorts of concoctions that represented the entire plant and animal kingdom on top of a tiny cracker. And my brother and I loved them, but the deal was is we could only sample an appetizer once we had passed them to all the adults in the room, so my brother and I were on it. It was like every 90 minutes, adult was getting an appetizer plate in their face. So 90 minutes, I meant 90 seconds, we were on it. And I just got the gong, so I'm hurrying up here. But our favorite hors d'oeuvre of all was these kind of luminous, they white, and they almost kind of looked like Lincoln Logs. And there was a very particular way that we could eat them, and you had to peel them very carefully, peel them lengthwise, and we were only allowed, with the loving glare of our mother, we knew that we were only allowed to take a section that was only the width of dental floss. And these were magnificent, magical things that just were so soft, and they felt like embroidery threads, and they had just this nutty, maybe salty flavor, but it was mostly just a divine nothingness. And we put them on our tongue, and my brother and I would watch each other very seriously, and because, God forbid, the other one took a bigger string than a piece of dental floss. And this was the most kind of spiritual, the closest thing to the sacrament that my brother and I ever had. Fast forward 10 years, we don't see our grandmother for over a decade. Adult tensions, life gets in the way. We have this kind of vague falling out. I go off to hoity-toity prep school that in New England that my grandmother pays for. I'm not really squaring it because she doesn't like us, but she's paying for me to go. I'm not going to ask questions. I don't really want to untangle that. I'm just going. My brother goes to the U.S. Army, where he becomes a Black Hawk helicopter pilot, and then I end up at a hippie liberal arts school in Portland, Oregon. So it's in Portland, Oregon, where I'm at Fred Meyer's, which is like Albertson's, Shopko kind of thing, and I'm getting my weekly college student ration of ramen, because, you know, that's what you do. And my favorite is Top Ramen, because you can get 5 packages for a buck, and the best is the chicken sesame, because the sesame oil comes in this neat little packet. And I also like to add a raw egg to the last 30 seconds of my ramen, because that's what Dad did. So I'm scooting over to the dairy section to get my half dozen eggs. And I'm standing next to this end cap catches my eye. It's about 3 feet wide, 6 feet tall, and it's just stocked with these glowing white Lincoln Logs. And I'm staring at them, and it's string cheese. It's called string cheese. It's 12 packs of string cheese for $2.87. And I'm staring at it, and it's like this shock and explosion of mental life montage, kind of like it's in my head. And I'm thinking of my grandmother and the stress of family and responsibilities and, of course, money, and how does it all fit in? And I'm like, is my grandmother a fraud? Is my family a fraud? And then obviously next, am I a fraud? Why didn't anyone tell me string cheese $2.87?
Thanks, Juanita. Juanita Vero is part of the fourth generation on a dude ranch in Greeno, Montana. She says it's like City Slickers meets Dirty Dancing meets the Horse Whisperer with a river runs through it and some Downton Abbey. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to our title sponsor for 2015, The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. And thanks to all of our sponsors, Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history, and in the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. If you are interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me, mark@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Susan Hansen, Dagny Deutschman, Jenny Pack, Louis Vero, Nicole Sweeney, Juanita Vero, Sawyer Connolly, Svein Newman, and Katrina Farnham. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the themes for the 2016 season. TellUsSomething.org.